Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 13th of January, recording at 10:26 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And apologies for the late recording. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly firm. An exception, and an important exception, was India, which gave up a chunk of yesterday's gains. More on that in a moment. And the European stock markets, one of the better gains in the Asian Pacific region was Australia on resources, and possibly the floods peaking. Now, flood water is peaking. European stock markets were mostly a little bit firmer, and once again, some of the markets that were hard hit, such as the Spanish IBEX and the Italian MIB, were among the better gainers, suggesting that there's some short covering going on here. And in the Americas, we saw Brazil gave up a chunk of yesterday's big gains, down 1.27%. The U.S. market was in the negative column pretty much the whole day, I believe. I think pre-market we had some gains, but not too much in the actual trading. But these gains were paired. They were never big, and they were paired to the close. So the S&P at the end of the day was only down 2.2 points, and that's 0.17%. Long-dated government bond prices were mostly a little bit firmer. Bigger story, the dollar fell a bit sharply in here, and maybe even a bigger story is that the euro rallied quite sharply. It's currently 133.60, but obviously benefiting from that success in the recent bond auctions among Southern European borrowers. Now, precious metals were very strong early in the day. We had some chunky gains, particularly for palladium and platinum. Both were up over $30 at one stage and $35 at one stage, and silver had also shot up, I think, to around, can't see it on my screen right now, but I think it got up to sort of 29, no, it did, it got up to 29, I can't, it got up to 29.81 before slumping back down a sort of a dollar and a quarter at least. Now, I think there was a contributing factor there, and that is that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission is debating some rules to potentially curb some of the speculation that's gone on in commodity markets. More on that in a moment. Industrial metals were a little bit easier, having been quite strong yesterday. The grain and bean complex, again, firmer prices here today. And they closed before that CFTC announcement came out. Elsewhere, let me just find crude oil. Just down a wee bit. That would have been affected by the CFTC announcement as well. Had been up as high as 92.37 for the NYMEX crude, and that is currently a dollar below that level as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, they're mostly pretty steady, although you can say some of these markets are a little overextended, a little overbought in the short term. Where markets are weak, there's usually a good story. Tunisia, there are major riots going on there, and that's weighed on the market, but that's a very thin market. But India, which I mentioned today, had retraced a good chunk of yesterday's gains, had a good bounce yesterday from some prior lows, some prior support, but gave up most of that in here today. Now, the problem for India, I think, in the short to perhaps medium term, is that investors have lost confidence in the government at a time when valuations were on the pricey side among Asian markets. So that's caused some money to pull out of India on a short-term basis, at least. Now, at Fuller Money, we so often say governance is everything. Well, that's an overstatement, an intentional overstatement, but it's certainly very important. And what we have here is a problem of inflation, and the government is being blamed for that, and not without some justification, but also the food price inflation I'm talking about, really. Food price inflation just demonstrates how antiquated, out of date the Indian agricultural system is. Again, it's hard to reform because every little patch farmer, I mean, with a tiny little patch of land, has at least two votes to cost, and there are there are many, many millions of these very, very small allotment type farmers. But nevertheless, it's not helping sentiment towards India, and then there have been the perennial problem of corruption charges. I'm going to ride this one out myself, but it's never comfortable when that happens. And those who are out of India and interested to get in look like they're going to have a buying opportunity, at least near the rising 200-day moving averages, and possibly a bit lower. Could India have a huge fall? Well, not unless everything else does as well, and everything else is doing quite well indeed. I think that's probably going to continue. Wall Street's the key here, as long as the Wall Street leash remains positive, and it's been very positive since early December, then that does lend support too many other markets. But you know, it's a global beauty contest, and fashion trends are very strong. People enthuse about India, and then they worry about India. The very long-term story for India, I think, remains outstanding. But every investor who's ever had a major position in India will know that you're never short of things to worry about, and you really do have to be in the mindset that the glass is half full. Well, I think it looks that way most of the time, and corporate profits are good reason for that, but it's not that way all the time. And I think emphases was also a factor in here today. I almost forgot to mention that, but emphases, a wonderful company, very hugely successful company, the tech leader in India, but it disappointed on its earnings were not quite as good as people were expecting its earnings to be. So it missed a forecast, and markets don't like that. So that's another factor here. Now, on Brazil, I mentioned that Brazil had given up a chunk of yesterday's gains, and I almost forgot to mention the reason there, or certainly a big contributing factor, is that there was a major, major mudslide due to torrential rains in one region, and tragically that's wound up with at least 400 people dead, according to the last headline that I saw. Is that more La Nina, probably, causing havoc with weather conditions? I see there are flood alerts out for England now, for over the weekend and next week. But I suspect we'll be spared. We won't be spared the rain, but probably be spared the floods here in London. Okay, so what else to mention? In terms of global stock markets, I think it's not too bad a picture, but what I've been mentioning continuously here is the risk, the opportunity that would eventually turn into the major risk is the strength of commodity markets. Now, this CFTC discussion is really quite interesting. I'm leading with that article, and but my instant conclusion is that this can't be good in terms of anyone who is long a number of commodity positions. And I think most investors know my views on this, that commodities were never meant to be investment vehicles. I'm talking about the actual commodity price, not commodity shares. And while speculators can and do play more often than not a useful role in the commodity markets by providing some liquidity, which helps hedgers, if the speculators, and sometimes under the guise of long-term pension fund and endowment fund investors, are big enough to muscle the market, and we have seen that in recent years. Again, a sign of the times, fear of inflation, fear of other assets. But I mentioned a great deal during 2008, in the first 7 months of 2008, that much of that huge spike in the price of crude oil was due to tracker funds, speculation in crude. And I mentioned that, as I say, on numerous occasions at the time, and some didn't agree with me, but I think the evidence was pretty strong. And there's no doubt that there's been plenty of speculation here in the commodity markets. And with the surge that we have seen due to La Nina-related problems of adverse weather conditions damaging crop yields for agricultural commodities, and then on the heels of the very strong demand for industrial commodities, the more people choose to make actual commodity futures an investment, regard them as an investment class. I think that's a mistake. You can get some very big moves, certainly, but I think they're for trading at best. But I think this is the beginning now of moves to attempt to cap some of the speculation and therefore some of the rises in commodity markets. And I'm not far off from taking profits, for instance, where I have them in the and things like corn, because I don't want to be long commodities when that's creating considerable hardships. There are other ways to make money. Okay, other ways to invest and trade. Now, so again, precious metals. We'll see how they react to this news. But gold was mentioned in this CFTC article. And last but not least, as a point, one could argue, and I will argue, that whether intended or not, that a crowd of investors piling into commodity funds, including gold bullion funds, can be viewed, again, I repeat, whether intentionally or not, as an attempt to corner a market. So this story and this debate going on within the CFTC is potentially important, and you can be sure that to the extent that it's an influence, it won't be bullish for commodity prices. Okay, what else? The long-dated government bonds. The question really in my mind is do I, where I have a small short position, do I add more short positions at this level on the basis that we're unlikely to see too much of a rally in the futures market? It's a little bit tricky here in the short term. The last move down in bond futures, up in bond yields, in other words, was a lucrative little move. I don't want to overpress because I think we're still in a base building phase, and it could be choppy for a while. I variously described this as looking like a type 2, but preceded by a type 1 if you attended the chart seminar, but the type 1 accelerating climactic decline in yields that we got in the fourth quarter of 2008, followed by the very strong rally against the prevailing downtrend. That was the type 2 characteristic, and the type 1s, type 2s usually go in the same direction. You get spikes. So you had this big spike down in long-dated treasury yields and most other bond market yields in the fourth quarter of 2008, and then the first half of 2009, they rebounded very, very strongly. That's a type 2 characteristic, and subsequent activity has looked like some right-hand extension overall. To my mind, the question is not if, but when we get the next move upwards, and following a 31-year bear market in bond prices, I should really phrase that as a 30-year bull market in long-dated government bond yields, which are steadily coming down, that we should not be surprised if markets bottom and move off their lows fairly quickly. Now, there is someone trying, someone trying to prevent that, and that's Mr. Bernanke with a QE2. But he's not trying to buy a retest of the lows, which would get people worrying about deflation once again. But he would, I assume, very much like to prevent bond yields from moving up too quickly. And these are mostly short-term considerations. My long-term view is that we will see bond yields move up quite a bit over time. But remember, those of us who try to take advantage of that by either buying, just going to have a little quick cough. And those of us who wish to participate and to take advantage of that rise in long-dated yields, and whether in the futures, as I do, or via instruments such as the ProShare Ultra Short and ProShare Short vehicles that are available and that have been discussed in Fuller Money in recent weeks, that the yield works against the bear who's buying the ultra short funds or shorting the futures. So the yield is a running cost, and that really does for best performance. That indicates a need for some little bit more active dealing. Medium-term trading is the way I would describe it. Short-term trading, if that's the way you're inclined, and if the markets are moving quickly enough, but mostly sort of medium-term. In other words, if you were to go into those a ProShare type short vehicles for treasury bonds on a buy-and-hold basis, I do feel that you would make money over the next 10 years or more, probably more, but that the gains that we saw in yields would not be matched by the performance of those funds. And the reason for that again is the yield that the bonds pay. So how do we take advantage of that? Well, when the positions are doing well, one should be lightening and taking some profits, and then waiting for reactions to reestablish positions. A little bit of baby steps activity, in other words. Okay, and on that note, all the best to all of you.